I like it.
I love it.
Sad.
Angry.
Share it. Retweet it. My feed.
It's time for My Feed, where we get the best of the week's social media news, well, curated by somebody. And this somebody this week is a comedy writer and satirist, James Colley. James, welcome to RN Drive again.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you've been obsessed with something that I've been obsessed with, and now our listeners are going to be obsessed, if they're not already obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
And Twitter's also been in a headspin about it, and that's Colleen Rooney, who's the wife of former Manchester United star Wayne Rooney. She tweeted the result of her investigation into who was leaking stories about her, private things that are happening on social media, to the Sun newspaper. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, this is incredible. It is very much worthy of its being its own 12-part podcast series or something of the sort. She's one of the world's greatest detectives now. So Colleen Rooney had been having stories about her in the Sun newspaper in the UK, of things about her basement flooding, or that she was returning to TV when Wayne returns to the UK, things of this nature. And then in one of the more devastating posts that has ever been seen on Twitter, she revealed that this was all a ruse which she had set up, in which she had made sure her Instagram stories — now there's a feature of Instagram stories where you can choose who gets to see them — and she whittled it down so only one person who she suspected might be leaking these stories got to see these, and planted false information out there. And wouldn't you know it, the information ended up leaking to the Sun. And then in this one amazing post, she revealed that it was, and the way she described it was, it's, and then a long ellipsis, a very dramatic pause, which is hard to do in text, but she managed to pull it off. It's Rebecca Vardy's account, which, you can imagine, set off shockwaves in the footballing world, in the drama world, also weirdly in legal Twitter world, when they went through how well she had put together that statement, so it was technically not defamatory.
Amazing. The woman is amazing. So what was Rebecca Vardy's response?
So she replied with the kind of shock that you do whenever you are, let's say, perhaps caught out on something, being like, I can't believe you wouldn't come to me with this first, that we wouldn't talk about this. And she also made the claim, which so many have made before, which was that her account had been used by multiple people.
And that old chestnut.
Mm-hmm. She has since engaged lawyers who are to find out who was in control of her account when this all went down, and good luck to them.
Oh, that is, yeah, okay, good on her. So what made this tweet and the scandal so huge? I mean, it's been liked, I think the last time we checked, it could have gone up 270,000 times on Twitter. I mean, that's pretty big kind of ratio going on there. This is big love for this story.
It's kind of, it's a bit of perfect storm. Like, I think that, like, for myself, even though I knew of Wayne Rooney, I knew Jamie Vardy, things like that, I didn't know these people in particular, but Twitter has an incredible sense of when drama is unfolding. It's like you know how the salmon just know they have to swim upstream at a certain point?
Yeah, it's so much like that, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone on Twitter just zoned in on this, and it was this beautiful, perfect storm. Someone was caught out. They were, like, having what I would say is probably a poor lie to try and cover their tracks. The Sun newspaper was involved and in the wrong, which is always delicious. It was football. It was everything that you need for a perfect Twitter storm.
It really was. It's funny, you know, the word viral is so overused, but there's no better word for it either, because something literally spreads like a disease, doesn't it, on the internet when it's this good?
Absolutely. And the beautiful thing about it is it comes with one of these signs that any one of us could change the world, because she got this idea when one of her followers, someone with like a very small following, tweeted at her, well, what I would do is just send out false stories with small groups, which is actually, I believe, a Game of Thrones plotline as well. So there's some high-level espionage going on here to uncover this ruse. It's really remarkable detective work.
Remarkable. So I'm sure the police will be recruiting her immediately. All right. There's been a backlash against the NBA in China, sparked by a tweet made by the Houston Rockets general manager. What did he say?
So I have to declare an interest here. The Houston Rockets are my beloved basketball team, and this is I follow them. They are my religion, really.
Really? How did this happen to you?
I see. It's a bad choice because they don't win very often and no one likes them. But the fact of the matter is I had to pick a team and I really liked Rockets and I was a kid. So I was like, ah, the team that has a rocket on them.
What a great idea. I love the way your mind works.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't help when you want to, you know, see your team succeed. But that's never been an issue for me with sports. No one I follow ever wins. But back to the story. Daryl Morey, who is the general manager, tweeted out, What would seem to be fairly innocuous, a tweet in support of Hong Kong protesters, but NBA in China is a multi-billion dollar business, and this happened to be a perfect storm of timing because the NBA was also this week having a bunch of preseason games in China. So this created a massive backlash, and particularly because the Houston Rockets as a team, they have had Yao Ming was one of their most famous players who is currently the head of Chinese basketball. They also had, they've had various, like their connection with the Chinese community is incredible to the point that they are one of the few teams that have an alternate jersey that has Chinese lettering as the team's name. So it seemed to come across as like a very specific sure felt by the fans there as a betrayal of this, but it also meant that for someone like me who is a basketball obsessive, you then had a week of people whose job is usually to describe how basketball works, trying to wade into geopolitics and with the daintiest of footsteps. And it was quite remarkable the number of times you would hear a sportscaster reading what I think was the first line of a Wikipedia page about what Hong Kong actually is.
That's so good. Can the NBA reconcile its values and its fast-growing market in China, or is the damage done here?
It's an interesting question. Basketball is so big and so beloved there that it's hard to imagine what it would be like if it pulled out. And it's very much knowing the NBA's interest. It affects the league in very dramatic ways. It's not just another place that they can sell their league, but the way that their league works is that the amount of cap, the amount of money they're allowed to give to players in their league is based off the total revenue. So it would actually change if China were to completely say no to the NBA. You would then have players having to move teams because they couldn't be afforded anymore and things like that. It would have really bizarre and ongoing repercussions. So you'd feel it's in everyone's interest to make it work, but also this is a league that has long since prided itself on progressive values, on allowing its players and managers to speak out about issues that are important to them. So this is a very, very difficult situation.
And finally, the star of NBC's The Good Place and body positive advocate Jamila Jamil has aired her ignorance of George W. Bush on Twitter, and the response was huge. Take us through this one. She was weighing in to defend Ellen DeGeneres, who was at an event with the former president.
Yeah, it's a complicated situation here because Ellen was at a NFL game with George W. Bush. That created a kind of uproar amongst the Twitter community, would you believe?
I'm shocked.
Exactly. And celebrities were coming out kind of on either side of this. Mark Ruffalo did quite a damning statement about how until he believes George W. Bush answers for things like the Iraq War and things, it's not a matter of friendship. Ellen herself kind of doubled down on it, saying that George Bush is her friend and it's okay to have conservative friends. It seems a lot of people were trying to make the point of like, the problem isn't conservative friends. You can have conservative friends. It's specifically that guy, which seemed to be part of the kind of where the dividing line was being set in any Twitter debate. It eventually finds its natural medium. And then Jamila came through and said, and I'll quote her tweet here, because I think she wasn't so much defending Ellen. I think she was trying to do this quite performative reasoning for pushing away. So she was saying, oof. Learning about the full extent of Bush's heinous presidency, we weren't taught much about him at school. We just heard he was stupid. We were dealing with our own epic nightmare of a prime minister back then. What a monstrous leader. I now understand the rage. And it came across as kind of hollow because I'm sure as you and I can both appreciate as, you know, people on the other side of the world, we kind of heard about
George
Bush.
Yeah,
no,
we heard about him. We heard about him. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were busy with our own prime ministers too, but we kind of knew that he was happening, didn't we?
It came up once or twice. Yeah. It was on the news. It was in all the
on
papers.
On the news, yeah.
You could have noticed him.
You're cracking me up. Right, okay. So a little tone deaf perhaps. And then she backtracked on that defence to Ellen after, yeah, what, she Googled the Iraq War. Is that right?
Yeah, it seems to be. Like, helpful. And then so that's part of what's amazing about this, that it was kind of, it was an attempt to almost be above this and be like, wow, I'm just finding out this and it seems awful to me, which, yeah, it rang a little hollow. And then one of my favorite responses to this was like, wow, someone replied with, wow, could you cite some articles? And she replied, I don't have time. Google him. Like, well, okay. So we're not going through any kind of educational process here at all. It was just one of those beautiful moments where someone like, that happens a lot on Twitter, that I call it the O Icarus moment, where someone tries to That's set themselves so good. A bit too high and you're like, oh, Icarus.
Like, oh, yeah. I've burnt myself now.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe just keep out of it. That's actually an option that sometimes appears to elude people.
It's really like, Twitter, never tweet is the greatest advice on the thing. And if you're out there listening and you're not on Twitter, I often think of being on Twitter is like smoking. You never meet someone who does it and they're like, oh, you've got to try this, it rules. They're always like, I'm trying to quit, it's just so hard.
They're right. And one day it's going to be banned or something. Exactly. Thank you so much for coming on, James.
Thank you for having me.
Comedy writer and satirist James Collier. And just making it clear, it was a joke. I don't believe in banning stuff. Just need to clarify. This is RN Drive.